Hello, everyone, and welcome to Edge Talk Radio. My name is Angela Zabel, that's me, and today we are going to be talking to Dr. Yaffe Yair, and we are going to be talking about channeling on consciousness, Hathor, and the divine feminine. There is so much to get into, and I can't wait. So, who am I? My name is Angela Zabel. I have been connected with spirit, working with a team in the non-physical my entire life. I'm sharing messages from a multitude of realms with people, and I am a teacher, coach, medium, radio show host, retreat host, reader, and I also offer guidance, mediumship, intuitive readings with online and group sessions, classes, and the Amplified Universe monthly membership. This is a membership growing our connection to us, our world, all that is around us, and our role in it. You can find out more about me on pretty much all the social media, but go to my website, angelazabel.com. And today we are here with Edge Magazine. I'm going to try to get this in line here. So, Edge Magazine is the leading events and media resource dedicated to all aspects of holistic living, health, wellness, and the mysteries beyond. Sharing information, wisdom, and resources committed to promoting businesses, organizations, and individuals who support our collective journey to wholeness and balance. They're currently distributed in 30 states plus Canada with over 17,000 magazines per printing, and also a vibrant online magazine with over 42,000 people reached per month. So stay up to date, have it shipped direct to your door, become a drop spot if you have a business. And also make sure to check out Kelly Wagner on the Being Curious show, which is also part of Edge Magazine. And you can find out more about them at edgemagazine.net. And today we are here with Yaffe Yair. She is a doctor, a clinical psychology and hypnosis. She combines her expertise in holistic wellness with spiritual exploration. Beyond her clinical realms, Dr. Yair is an energy worker, an intuitive, a channeler. She brings light language and transmissions from the divine feminine Hathor. Hathor. How do you pronounce it again?
Hathor.
Hathor. I want to make sure I get it right.
I'm sure there are many ways to pronounce it.
And from an array of other spiritual sources, including earth elements, Viola the fairy, extraterrestrials. Dr. Yaffe also authors the book Conversations with Hathor, Channeling the Divine Feminine, and Conversations from the Earth, Channeling on Humanity, Consciousness, and the Shift. And there is a big shift going on. Dr. Yaffe's mission is enriching the lives of others through a heart-centered exploration of consciousness and of the self. Find out more about her on her website. It's yaffechanneling.com, and that is Yaffi channeling.com. Also on YouTube, Spotify, and so many other areas. And those links will also be down below for those watching it on different media. And she also offers in-person and online sessions, sacred sound and massage online Sundays, channeling readings, her books, channel transmissions, holistic counseling, hypnosis, past and parallel and ET lives, QHHT, energy light language sessions. She has so much on there. So make sure to check out her website again. That is yaffechanneling.com. And
A
Yaffe,
small, small, a small, small correction. I do not offer massage in my groups. It's messages.
Oh,
Hathor,
message.
sacred sound, and messages. It's on
Got it.
Zoom. I don't know how massage would work, although I do love massages.
That is awesome. You're right. It is messages. Maybe it's time for a massage. I love it. And that's, you do those pretty much, is it every Sunday or certain
Every
Sundays?
Sunday, every Sunday.
Wow. Very cool. So definitely check that out. Go to her website and sign up for those. That sounds amazing. Even if it's not a massage, but it is messages. So, Yaffe, you have been doing so many different things. How did you transition from going from that clinical psychology and hypnosis into the energy healing? How did that go?
Yeah, I actually started with energy healing about maybe it was 25 years ago now, so even before the psychology training. But then
Wow.
when I started my psychology training, it was time to put my left brain reasoning side on, and I really let go of everything spiritual until it was close time to graduation with my doctorate. So it was for
Oh.
about 10 years, I put it aside. And
Wow.
then towards the end of my training, I discovered hypnosis. And that really just opened a whole new world to me. So first, it was just fascination with subconscious and human potential. And so I was trained in clinical hypnosis. And then very shortly after, I discovered Brian Weiss with past life regression, which was the first brain explosion. A couple of years later, I discovered Michael Newton with Life Between Lives, which takes hypnosis even deeper and emphasize that not only we have other lives, that really our spiritual reality is our main reality. And
Yes.
a few years after that, I discovered and was trained with Dolores Cannon, which was
Oh.
another mind explosion with QHHT. So it's been a journey of integrating the spiritual into the clinical world, for me anyway, through hypnosis.
I love that. And you got to work with some amazing people. Holy cow. And did you actually get to work with Dolores Cannon herself too?
No, it was virtual with Dolores
Virtual.
Cannon. Yeah, so Brian Weiss was in person. Michael
Nice.
Newton was only through books. He even wrote a book for practitioners. And with Dolores Cannon, it was virtual.
Nice. That's still very, very cool. And it's amazing to me the people that are out there, the people that have shared their knowledge, just as you are sharing your knowledge with people now. That is just amazing. And it just seems like the hypnosis, when you started doing the hypnosis, did you start, you were working with other people, did you also do self hypnosis on yourself, or were you more learning from other people?
Yeah, so I started meditating daily about 13 years ago, maybe a little more. And in all essences, hypnosis and deep meditations are very similar. The main difference is with hypnosis, you have self-hypnosis, you do it with yourself, of course. So it's more like a self-guided meditation or a meditation with a specific intention. But generally, with hypnosis, you have somebody else guiding you through the process. So your left brain, your critical mind can completely relax. So you don't have to judge everything and analyze everything. And you can go even more deeply, allowing your whole brain and your imagination and your right brain that knows how to enter the flow, receive more insight from the subconscious. So, other than that, meditation and hypnosis are pretty parallel.
Love, that's really good information for people to understand that hypnosis and meditation are similar on a lot of levels, and bringing that through, really understanding who you are as a soul, bringing that soul you out into the world. And as you started doing this journey, what you start, I mean, you've been tapping into the extraterrestrials, to Violet, Viola, and to Minnie, and to Hathor, and so many different realms. Did that come when you were doing, so I'm going to back this up. My team is saying we need to back up a little bit. Did that, were you tapping into a lot of those before you started down the hypnosis and psych and that path? Or did it kind of come out more once you combined both worlds together?
Yes, so through my meditation and also going to the Monroe Institute quite regularly for the past, again,
Oh,
13 years,
I am so jealous. I want to go so bad.
you should go. Anyone can go. It's amazing. So through that, I've developed my intuition and my psychic gifts more and more and more, and that really enhanced my connection. So I would recommend anyone that wants to improve their intuition, to solidify their connection, their discernment of spirit, to start meditating daily. I see that as the 101 to any spiritual journey.
Love
So
it.
that had really enhanced my connection, plus practicing, of course, at first as play with myself, with friends and family. I would use different cards to do readings. Again, at first, just for fun and kind of to further develop that intuition. And that developed more and more and more. And as I started offering readings professionally and also started integrating the energy healing work that I've learned 15 years prior into my practice. And then, I'm sorry, approximately 5 years ago, I did a long form channeling training with Lisa Royal Holt, and that really opened a whole new world for me. I channeled beforehand, but it wasn't verifiable enough for me. It wasn't concrete enough for me. So I kind of put channeling aside until 5 years ago when I did the training. And just having the space for practice and play really allowed me to open up even more and expand my mind even more. And that's when I connected to Hathor and also Jesus, who was one of the first entities I've channeled. And it's been a fascinating journey of channeling more and more entities, especially at first. When we are new channelers, we're often encouraged. My teacher definitely encouraged me to be more of a revolving door. Of course, with the intention of only channeling high, beautiful, loving sources, but beyond that, to just allow. So I experimented with all kind of sources. And it really comes through in my book, Conversations with the Earth. You would see the first chapter is fire consciousness. So I channeled fire consciousness, then wind, then water, and trees. And then it got more and more galactic, the moon, the Andromedas, and so forth and so forth. So it's been just this mind expanding journey of what consciousness is, what can be channeled and communicate through us. And also my journey with Hathor began then, who I didn't know. I didn't know who Hathor was. I was never very history oriented or mythology oriented. So when Hathor first came to me, I did not know what to expect. I had no idea we're talking about an Egyptian goddess or anything feminine. I thought it would be Hathor sounded very masculine to me, like a warrior. So maybe because the name Thor is in there. So I'm almost expecting a lightning bolt sending some masculine figure. And to my surprise, it was this nurturing, loving, beautiful essence that I immediately fell in love with. From the first time I channeled Hathor, it just felt so right and so good that I knew it was beginning. I actually did not know how much it was going to be a long-lasting relationship, but I immediately knew how wonderful it felt to be merging with that loving essence.
I love that. And you had talked about you have channeled Jesus, and my team is just saying there are so many people interested in how do you know the difference in who you're channeling? When you started channeling Jesus, how was that for you? And then how was that different with Hathor, with the different, how could you tell the difference?
Yeah, so the difference, we're talking now about subtle senses. So it's very different than what we see, right? So if you see an image of Hathor and if you see an image of Jesus, it's very easy to tell them apart. When you experience it internally, when I experience it internally, it's more subtle. So one, for example, can feel more. So with Hathor, I immediately felt this softness. And even though there was power and strength to the essence and to the transmission, I would say the main characteristics were ones of softness, flow, nurturance. And that's how it felt to me as the divine feminine more than anything else. So even when I channel, they say they, when they talk about themselves, I used to for years refer to Hathor as she, because that's how it felt to me. This beautiful feminine essence. And when I channeled Christ consciousness, Jesus, Yeshua, it felt like this strong light and just very compassionate, but not feminine. If anything, maybe masculine, but in a balanced way, not in a masculine kind of way. And so it's like subtle differences of how each one feels and minor changes with the voice, but really minor for me. The difference is not that big. But again, we're talking about subtle senses. So these little subtle differences, and the more I do it, the better I become at noticing the subtle differences of between the different beings. So at first, Isis and Hathor, you would think they're very similar. But when I channel them, There are minor differences that I feel.
Yes.
So Isis feels a little more sensual to me, a little more person specific, or although that's also not accurate because we're using language, human language, but she felt more like a being, while Hathor felt more expansive, like it could be a whole world or just an essence rather than a being, even though I called her she for many years.
I love that because it, I've channeled with Jesus and with others, and there is, I love how you brought up it's subtle differences. It's not this glaring thing like here's this one, here's this one. It's very subtle differences and really paying attention to your intuition, trusting yourself, and realizing there are subtle differences between them. So I'm really glad you explained that. My team, and I just say my team, it's a combination of a whole bunch of different beings. And sometimes it will be specific, other times it is general. But they are happy you helped explain that from your perspective because everyone has a different perspective at how it feels and how they tell the difference. So thank you for that explanation from
My
your
pleasure.
perspective.
And
That is.
it's true, every person has different gifts. So some people feel everything very viscerally. A lot of people. So when they channel, they may have tingling in certain. So I have a client that says, yes, when it tingles here, I know it's Isis. When it tingles here, I know it's Mother Mary. Or and different sensations. So for everybody, you have to work with your own gifts, being aware that whatever your gifts are, it may be very, very subtle. But a part of this whole journey, whether you're a channel or whether you're just a person learning to connect to your own intuition and guides, you have to go with your own gifts and notice the subtle differences, becoming a better listener and
Yes.
better discerner, so you can learn how things show up for you.
I love that. And it is so true because there's so many people. I mean, I see you and it's just amazing. I just feel this light just beaming from you, just flowing from you, and I feel so many behind you and above and around you just waiting, clamoring to come in and say, "Hey, I'm here."
Yes,
That's
they're all
so cool.
here.
And it's so fun to see and to experience that. And I love how you said everybody's going to experience it differently. Don't compare yourself to others, but trust in yourself. That's so key going forward. And as you start, you said you, and they're going to have me back up. You said you started talking with the trees, the wind, the fire, all of those elements, the water elements. And when you started doing that, did it make you more aware of when you're walking just on the earth, how there's so much more around you? Are you more, do you feel more in tune to what's around you now that you're just focusing, you have focused your attention on it for a while? How has that changed you and your connection to the earth now?
Yes, what a wonderful question. So we've all heard the saying that everything is alive, and I've heard it before many times. And I'm a huge nature lover, so it made sense on some level, but I didn't realize how much more there is to it and how really consciousness is so alive in everything. So we're talking about even fire consciousness, right? It's so abstract. I mean, what is fire? And of course, some of it is in the book because these are the kind of questions we would ask.
Yes.
So the idea that even something abstract like fire consciousness is alive, and not alive to the extent that it can actually communicate with us, it can
Yes.
actually merge its wisdom with us, then how differently then do you feel and treat a flame, right? Even of a candle, when you know that has genuine consciousness, that it's a part of something bigger and wiser than we could ever imagine. Or seeing the sun or the moon in the sky. Yes, you can say hi moon, hi sun, and stay at a surface level. Or through my journey, you can actually realize that yes, these are actual living beings, wise, advanced, actual beings. And the fact that we only perceive a fireball slowly moving across the sky and then disappearing every day does not reflect the limitation of that being, but the limitation of our perception as physical humans.
Yes, I love that. And it is, it's understanding there's so much more and you can tap into it. I think that's the one thing a lot of people are like, oh, I see it, but I can't do that. I can't tap into it. I can't do that. And you have brought it out, especially with your books. And can you hold up that first one so people can see it?
First one, yes, this is
Yeah.
Conversations with the Earth.
Love that. And then what is your next, the Hathor?
And the next one that was released just earlier this year is Conversations with Hathor.
I love that. And I love the fact that you have asked, because I just hear you have asked the questions. So it's almost like some of that, some almost like a question and answer, especially with your first book there, is almost like a question and answer with some of those beings, with the sun, with the moon, with the other ETs. So my team is just saying, when you sat down to do this, and it wasn't necessarily sitting down to write the book necessarily, it was just sitting down to tap into these beings. When you did that, were you going in with intentions of specific questions when you went into your own meditative, your own hypnosis to connect in with these beings? How did that work?
Yeah, so all the books are channeled with group of people, and the other people were asking the questions. So
Love it.
first it started as a channeling training. So it was with other trainees in channeling asking the questions. And that over time changed to being my group that is still ongoing, and people in the group asking the questions, and I'm channeling the answers. However, the questions did also come from me because often we would talk beforehand. Oh, yes, let's call fire consciousness. Let's see. Well, actually, we didn't decide to call fire consciousness, but that came up. So we said, what can we ask fire? And
Yeah.
with the example of fire, I was very lucky because I never specifically connected to the fire element. I mean, I liked making little fires, but that was the extent of it. But the person I was with, that was a one-on-one. She was very connected to fire consciousness, and she had this relationship with fire and with the sun, and she had wonderful questions that me as Yafi would have not come up with if it was only
Right.
up to me. So it was really good so that it was not just me asking the questions, but a whole group of other people with their own curiosities and interests and insight. And all I had to do was connect inward and invite whatever consciousness to be channeled at that time. Now, at the beginning, what we did is worked with cards. So we had a deck of cards, not a deck that's available to the public, but something that my channeling teacher prepared with the consciousnesses that are ready to work with us. And I
Oh.
would shuffle the deck and bring up one card, similarly to what you do with any deck. And that's how I knew what I was going to call. So fire consciousness, wind, water, trees, etc., etc. Now, trees was different. Trees was brought on due to my group's specific interest in trees. So there were people in my groups that had these experiences with trees, or a tree being cut off, and how do you deal with that? And what happens with the consciousness of the tree once it's cut off? So all these questions brought me to, well, let me see if I can channel trees. So I tuned in and called tree consciousness, and this long chapter with beautiful questions came through about trees.
That is so interesting. I love how it was done with people asking, because I've got to agree with you. You can't think of everything, and it's so nice when you get a group of people together, like, oh, ask this, find out this. That is the way, because we're working together and we're meant to work together. We really are. We're meant to work together to bring more together, just as they work together on that higher
Exactly.
consciousness level. And I hate to say higher. They always say it's not higher. And I'm like, I know it, but there's a hard way to it. How do you explain it in a human term?
Yes. And you know, as I mentioned, it's been a mind expanding journey for me. So that means that if you take me versus 4 years ago, 4 years ago, my consciousness was not as expanded relatively. So I would ask different questions today than I did
Yes.
then. So one of the beautiful things of working with other people, you have different people that are expanded in certain areas, and then they can take on these areas and they would ask questions that I would never think about, or have perspective that I wasn't even ready to explore yet, or did not know I was ready to explore yet. So there are all these benefits in working with others.
Absolutely. And that's where people, for me, I see people, they're going, well, I don't have any gifts. I don't know what to do. I don't have this. And but yet they come up with the most amazing questions and they are thinking in such a different way. So it's realizing everybody has something. Everybody contributes to the consciousness of us all. Everybody.
Absolutely. Even if they're just holding space,
Yes.
this journey has been the biggest thing for me has been merging with the divine feminine, with Hathor, and integrating that more and more into my being and into my identity. And one of the things that I've learned is, I think I lost my train of thought, is how to go with the flow more and more and not to be so rigid about what we're expecting and what's going to happen.
That's something really key. I think, especially now, to go with the flow, to not be rigid in your expectations of even how things are supposed to turn out, and let it flow without you getting in. They're showing me like just enamored and embroiled in just the flow of water just going crazy and spinning round and round. You don't want to be in that spinning part. You want to just be
That's
floating on
right.
top.
Yes. And what I wanted to say, it came back to me that a part of this journey of integrating with the feminine really made me understand, as they said it again and again, about the importance of being rather than doing. So even if your role at any particular time is just to be, just to hold space, just to hold the frequency that you are, that is a beautiful gift without you having to do anything. And I think that is such an important realization for many who think or feel they're supposed to do something specific in order to share their gifts. And really, you being you in an open, loving, compassionate way is the most beautiful gift you can give to yourselves and to everybody else.
I love that. And that is so true. We put so much pressure on ourselves, so many people. We put so much pressure on ourselves. And I'm just going to say a lot of women put a lot of extra pressure on themselves. And this is realizing everything you're doing, just you being in the presence of yourself, stepping outside and you're appreciating everything that's around you, appreciating the people that are around you. That is doing. That is all you need to do. You don't have to do everything else. And as you've been working with Hathor, have you found yourself changing, your own perspectives changing on the world? And how so?
Yes, absolutely. So, although the journey, I would say, of integrating the feminine, although I never called it that way, started beforehand with learning to trust more, for example. And for me, I came from a very type A personality. So,
No.
no. So, everything had to be a certain way. I had to work moving from perfection to excellence, which is still high, but a little softer than perfection.
I love that.
Yeah. So then when I started channeling Hathor, it really became a much deeper journey of applying all these concepts, but in a so much more integrated way into my life. So the idea of trusting, but truly trusting not only myself that I can handle whatever comes up, but trusting the universe, trusting in the goodness of the universe and in how everything just falls into place, that everything is as it should, which goes hand in hand with not trying to control things. And control can even be, as a psychologist, wanting to help people. So wanting to
Yes.
fix others is also a form of control. So this journey has been really, really deeply, deeply integrative of not trying to control and truly to get to go with the flow and truly to trust and to replace judgment with discernment. But again, on a really, really deep level, even in little things. So you think in general, not being a judgmental person is one journey. But then when you start applying it on all the subtle thoughts and feelings within yourself, and to shift those into discernment and compassion, it becomes completely transformative. And that has been the journey for me.
I love how you brought that up because I have talked to many and I've been there myself. I'm fully disclosure here. You know, you want to help people. You want to be there to fix. You want to help make their lives better. You can, and they're saying, think of all the mothers out there who, if their children would just do this one thing, their life would be easier. And you want them to do it. And it's really taking that step back and going, you know, they're on their own journey. People are on their own journey. The offering is there, but they choose whether they step into it. It's not my choice, and to let that go and to not embroil yourself into it. It's easier said than done. I've got
Absolutely. And there's so many layers to it. And you know, the way you act with other people, that may be easier not to try to control or fix, but then what happens when it's your own family? What happens when it's your own children? Or again, or clients, if you're talking about professionals, you discover more layers and more nuance of what it truly mean to hold a loving space versus to try to impose your ideas, even if they're ideas of love and compassion, but it's still imposing your own ideas on others versus just holding that space and allowing.
I love how you said, even if they're ideas of love and compassion, because that's usually where it's at. I mean, that's the hardest part I felt to release and sit back and just observe was because it was, I felt out of love. I wanted something better for them. I'm full disclosure, I'm a human, man.
We all are.
And it's wanting the best for them. And especially when you said family, clients, people are professionals, they get so embroiled with their clients wanting to make sure they end up being in a better space, but you don't have control over that. You don't. And that's something hard to sometimes come to the realization of, but to give yourself that grace and know you are doing it with compassion. But I love how you said it's many layers as you discover more.
Yes, it never ends. And I love that you said that you are human because that's important. You know, when people hear others talk, especially if you hear like people like us on the show talking, loving, compassion, we're smiling, everything seems perfect. And it's important to realize that it's not. We're all humans. We're all dealing with the different tugs and pulls of our personalities, of our ego, of our own inner wounds. And it is a part of being human. It's not about reaching a level of love and compassion and just staying there forever and ever with no challenges and no obstacles. That doesn't really happen. As long as we are in a human body, we have to deal with human emotions, human thoughts, human tendencies, and that is just a natural part of the journey.
I love that. And that is so true because, like you said, people look at this and they're going, oh, these people, they have it all together. There is never any, they never have challenges in their life. And I'm here, I think you're here saying, oh, yes, we do.
Yes, we do.
And that's the thing, because really, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I've been feeling a lot of times with that consciousness is saying, you know, we need to stop putting people on pedestals and realize we are all equal in all different ways. And we need to really tap into who we are and realize how important each and every one of us are. And putting people on pedestals really needs to go away. What is your thought on that?
I couldn't agree more. And I think that's something that sometimes is missing in our spiritual world because even people that are spiritual teachers or gurus or whatever, they have egos too.
Yes.
So when they are the center of attention and when they get a lot of compliments, it's very easy to allow the ego to begin believe that you are more of, oh, I'm more developed, oh, I'm more aware, or whatever the story is. But it's so important to keep that humility, not knowing your worth, but realizing that we really are all here because we're supposed to be here, because we chose to be here, especially now in these monumental times for humanity and for the earth. We have chosen to be a part of this challenging, beautiful, exciting transformation. So we are all very, very important and brave for being here.
Yes. That's the one thing is we chose to be here. And I love how you said it's an exciting time. To me, it is so exciting to be here. So exciting to witness these changes. These are monumental changes. And it's so
Absolutely.
exciting to be here. And as you've been doing this, you have been tapping into so much. How, and my team is coming in because I feel it's okay to ask you this, but how do you feel about the future of our world and future of things going forward? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, like we mentioned, it's very exciting to be here today. I think if you're not realizing that things are shaking and changing, I don't know, you live in a bubble.
Yeah, true, true.
So, for years I heard, and I know many other people heard about the old systems going to break down and make room for the new and all these changes. And it's different hearing about it and experiencing it. And
Yes.
now we are experiencing it. And we could go into fear because changes and uncertainty can be fearful, can be scary.
Yes.
Or we can go into what we were talking before about that trust, about that knowing that all is as it should, even when it feels really, really chaotic and challenging. So,
Yes.
coming from that perspective, I am super excited about the future and about what's coming because now we're making more and more space into more and more newness, new consciousness, new ways of being,
Yes.
new balance of sciences and spirituality, new balance of masculinity and femininity. And we are headed in a beautiful direction. And yes, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of chaos, but it is all a part of transformation that is required for transformation to take place. And actually, when I channeled fire consciousness, that was one of the main messages that creation and destruction are two sides of the same coin, and it's an ever-going cycle. And as humans, of seeing a smaller perspective, we tend to see destruction as a negative thing, as a scary thing. We tend to move away from pain, not as if any experience of pain is a bad thing, but in reality, to experience some loss, to experience a destruction of anything, including aspects of ourselves, people in our lives, social systems, anything that you think about is a part of that cycle of renewal.
Yes, I love that. And that is so true. It is just, I love how you said, see if I got this right, destruction and creation are one of the same coin, both sides. That is so true. And to know sometimes you have to destroy, and a lot of people like, I really think they need a different word for destroy because destroy brings fear and almost constriction right away. And instead, looking at it as the start of creation, the start of new creation. It's not destruction, it's the start of new creation. And that's so key.
And we can understand that with physical fire. So when fire happens, it destroys everything. Everything turns black. Everything is burnt. But from this ash, from this coal, from all these minerals, all this new springs up, new plants that then bring up new insects, that then bring up new birds and other animals. and this beautiful new world rises out of the ashes, physically and literally. And we can take the same principle to make it not physical, whether it's energetic again, or we can apply it to anything else. And it's true. And it's also true, this is was of a more recent channeling in the last year, and I loved it. The idea that the layers that we shed, especially when we do inner work and what's called shadow work, the layers that we shed becomes the fertile ground from which we grow.
Oh,
And
that is beautiful.
I found that so deep and so reassuring, because shadow work is, it's very unpleasant. And it's not fun to go there and to be in that space and to feel so vulnerable and so small, but to remember that those part of ourselves that we become aware of, that we process, that we allow, really become the substance that makes us stronger and more beautiful and more shining and more expansive, and it really becomes our fertilizer.
I love that. I love it. Love it. Love it. And that's something to remember. And I always look at everything we let go of. When you see beautiful flowers and beautiful landscape, that's been created from everything you've let go of. And what a beautiful way to look at it. I love it. And you've been working with the Divine Feminine. You've been working with Hathor. And Hathor has been, so my team is just kind of talking to me right now. They're saying so many people have looked at the divine masculine has to go away, the divine feminine has to go in. It's like you have to squash. So many people believe you have to squash one or the other. As you've been working with Hathor and the divine feminine, what have you felt from her, they, them, whatever you want to call them? I know it's a being and a
All
group
of the above,
together.
yes.
Yes.
Itchy them.
I love it. And I always say it's not a political thing. It's just that there's just a group, it's just a group of beings a lot of times. And as you've been tapping into that group, the Hathor, what has been some of your biggest takeaways dealing and communicating and connecting? And I'm also talking emotional wise too for you.
Yeah, so emotionally, it's been a very interesting journey, because I have become more and more vulnerable, and that allowed all kind of stuff to come up
We're human, remember?
from all the way up the bottom. Yes, because I kind of had semi-tough skin, I guess. Maybe I've acquired it throughout my life. Also, growing up in Israel, people there tend to be very direct, very assertive, and people often can take it the wrong way, especially outside of the context of that culture. So there I'm like a softie, but here
Here you're like the raging bull.
exactly. So it's been such a journey of softening the edges and really embracing balance and embracing vulnerability. And like we said, it's easier said than done, embracing vulnerability, because it does allow all kind of hurts and all kind of ancient wounds, whether they're from my ancestors, from past lives, or from my childhood, or from 2 years ago, to come up to the surface and really have to deal with emotions that are, previously, my intellectual brain said, anger, bad. There's no reason to ever be angry, especially if I embrace forgiveness. Who needs anger? And
I love it.
it can be true theoretically, but in essence, no, it cannot be true, because we really are here to experience the full range of emotions. And there are also functions to different emotions, even if they're not apparent when we're experiencing them. So emotionally, it has been a beautiful but also very challenging journey of allowing different emotions and experiencing different emotions, which, by the way, then makes you, anyone, a more compassionate person. And even if you think you could be compassionate without experiencing hurt, you are wrong. If we never experience hurt and anger and pain and maybe depression or anxiety, we would not have as much compassion for people, other people who are going through these difficult times. Now, I do want to mention something that you touched earlier about the divine feminine, divine masculine. We're banishing the masculine. So let's talk a little bit about masculinity, femininity. What does it mean? What does the divine feminine mean? So when we're talking about the divine feminine, we're talking about a very balanced femininity. So femininity, by its essence, carries certain concepts. So when we talk about creativity, creation, that's feminine in essence. The essence of creation and creativity is feminine. The same when we're talking about flow versus structure. So structure would be the masculine. Is structure bad? Structure is not bad. We will all be floating away somewhere if we had no structure at all.
True.
But a balanced masculinity brings the beautiful structure that balanced femininity with its flow requires. So feminine and masculine really do complete each other. But for that to happen, both have to be balanced within themselves. So when we're talking about the masculinity that we want to banish from our world, or that has been ruling our world in an unbalanced, over-dominant way for very, very long time now, many, 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 many years. So yes, we don't want to banish masculinity. We want to bring it into internal balance within itself and then integrating. And I think once it's balanced within itself, the integration with the feminine happens naturally. So, like I said, the masculine brings structure. What else? The masculine brings power and active. So the feminine is passive. We're talking about being. So passive is not disappearing. Passive is being, and the masculine is active. That's doing, that's taking actions. So we don't want to banish it. We would not survive without it. Even the most feminine of them all needs the, well, they need the masculine even more. We want to bring it into balance so they can live harmoniously with each other.
I love that. And it's recognizing we're not here to get rid of one or the other, but like you said, bring everything back in balance. And that's why you're seeing so much chaos. We're bringing things back in balance. We are bringing this world. We are bringing each person. Each person is getting back in balance. And as they do, so does the world. It follows suit. And that is something so key for people to remember. Because my team just saying there's so many people that think one has to go completely and it has to be completely feminine, and that's not it. It's just not
Exactly. We're talking about integration. So we're in a time where integrating all our different parts and finding a way to for all of them to live in harmony. And we are the ones, we are the conductor
I love it.
that decides who speaks when, and when they're singing together as a choir, and when one side has to quiet down a little so the other side can speak and be free.
Love.
And the other thing that I wanted to bring in mind, that balancing and coming into balance, or the journey to harmony and to balance, is not smooth. It's not a linear one way up. Things happen in cycles. You can look at it as a spiral, or more commonly, there's a saying, the pendulum swings. And that is true. We're always going from one side to the next, to the next. So, and you can see it in our society, the pendulum swings from one to the next. So I think it's important to remember that that's a natural part of change. That's how things happen. That's how things shift. It's not just one linear, one way up.
Love it. Love it. And it's so good to know, some people think, well, if it feels like I went backwards, which we never go backwards, if it feels that way, then I'm doing something wrong. And it's like, no, you're just experiencing parts of it that you're working through to help bring that into balance. And that's so key to understand. And you are helping so many people just have a better understanding. And like you said, you can't think of every question to ask. You can't think of everything, but having people doing that together, making this collective, I'm just here, collective balancing of understanding more of your universe and who you are, doing that, putting that in books so people can see it, can read it, can feel those words. That's so important. And you've done it a couple of times now. And do you have another one that you're looking at doing? Is there something in the works that you're working on?
There are several. I need to decide which to focus on next. Do I focus on conversation with Viola the Fairy? Do I do conversations with Hathor too? Do I do all of it? So yes, there are more in the works. And also conversations with Hathor kind of ended on a cliffhanger, which I actually don't mind sharing. It's not like that, but it so there's need to be more, and there needs to be updates, and things are moving and happening so quickly that there's always more to share.
I love it. I know my team is like, she's got more. She's got more. I love it. Would you be okay if you bring Hathor or anyone else that you want to channel to bring them in to just their opinion or something they would like to say to the guests? And I don't know, I didn't ask you before and I apologize. Did you want me to ask questions or did you just want to do a channeling and then do it that way?
So it's whatever you want. There are a myriad of options. So
Okay.
as I call Hathor, so first of all, it's very quick. So it only takes a couple of seconds and they're already there. It's just about me
Yes.
tuning inward. I can open with, or they can open with some light language and field tuning,
Nice.
or they can open with a message, or they can just introduce themselves and allow you to immediately ask questions. So it's really whatever you prefer.
Well, I think it would be, I keep hearing from my team, people would like to hear what the light language is. And maybe if they have a message they would love to share with the world, that would be awesome. And we'll take it from there.
Okay, sounds perfect. So I'll just mention that when I do the light language, it's often Hathor and Isis working together. And when I do the verbal messages, it's usually Hathor taking the wheel and answering and
Love it.
communicating.
Love
All right,
it.
let's do it. Harianukorastianatarakiani. Okruomania tiras tahayanakat araya. Urania tarastianakaturu Urania katirahania homari. Hekaria niratarastuyana. Herania kikrania turumahai, tirania kokria heranaya, uhura meani kakriana, uhuana kokrua mahayana, homierani horunoye kikrania. Oho Mariana, Tunturastiana, Hakiakriana, Oriahitetta Roma, Ujena, Ujena, Ujena. Greetings and blessings to you. The energy is still moving, so we invite you to stay in your body, staying in allowance, and allow yourself also to feel the sudden, subtle energies and frequencies as they run through you. We are Hathor. It is our pleasure to be here in this space. Allow us to introduce ourselves to the ones who may not heard our name before, knowing that names are merely representations rather than capturing the true essence of anyone. As if we called you by your name, it is also a representation of your physical manifestation at this time, rather than of all you are on all dimensions at all times. So, Hathor, you know of the name Hathor, the ones of you that do, from ancient Egypt. In that time, we indeed manifested in physical bodies, one of them of the Egyptian goddess slash priestess Hathor, which is where the name is from. However, our existence goes beyond that individual physical manifestation. Our collective, as you may know it, comes from the star system of Sirius. So many see us as the Hathors, Assyrian collective. That is but another layer to our frequency. This channel and others who have connected with us directly often perceive us as the divine feminine. The divine feminine does not relate to one individual, as you know, an Egyptian goddess, but a much more vast and open frequency of the feminine. In the most harmonious, balanced representation that is involved with your beautiful earth. So there is a Mother Earth connection, although we are not Gaia as you know it. She is her own magnificent being, but we are the divine feminine as relates to humanity as you understand of it. Hopefully, we did not confuse you too much, but added at least a little bit to the understanding of the name that we use, Hathor, when we come through, not only through this channel, but when each and every one of you connect to our essence in a personal, individualized way. We will mention that the connection to nature is not incidental. Many of you have rediscovered your love and connection to nature elements around you, whether it's birds or trees or the beautiful colors you see during sunset or anything else that you consider as nature, your natural environment, that essence is embedded within our own, just like it is embedded within you. As you are a part of this beautiful planet, a part of her true essence of frequency, a part of her identity. Just as you do not separate a tree from nature, so are you not separated from your beautiful planet.
I absolutely love that, Hathor. Is it okay if I ask you a question?
Please do.
There is much change on the earth and in the universes around us. Is there something we can do as individual people or the collective to help this change come forward?
Yes, there is much, much that you can do. But at the essence of it all is finding your true balance within, is finding, discovering your heart connection. Your heart is not only a harmonizer to both your physical system, energetic system, and beyond. It is also your individualized portal. It is as if you have a wormhole, a portal within yourself to reach other dimensions, to reach other layers within your own dimension. So that is why today, more than ever, finding a path into your heart and learning that space, learning how to utilize it, learning what it means to be living from the heart is the most important lesson, activity, and idea to be with as you usher yourself into this new world that you are creating.
I love that. And as we create this new world, tapping into our hearts, is there a way through, is there a specific way through meditations, intention, or is it each person specific to help connect with your heart, to connect to all that is around us?
Meditations and intention are tools, but your day-to-day beingness, the way you are being with yourself and with those around you, are the way you are implementing those tools and all that you have learned using these tools. So meditation is a wonderful tool for you to know yourself, to know your true self, to recognize your own thoughts, and also to recognize the space between the thoughts. And intention is a powerful tool of creation, but you still must create, not only intend. So the creation of yourself in the world, which includes what you're doing and how you are doing it, are the essence of what you are bringing to the table and what you are creating.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so helpful. And I don't want to keep you too long, but I appreciate and want to thank you for everything you're doing and all you are helping with humanity as a whole. And as we are going forward, is there something you can help to maybe some words of encouragement for people that are going through a lot of chaos? How to handle the chaos going forward? To create the world we're looking for with our heart.
Yes, as mentioned in the conversation prior, this is a wonderful time that you all chose to be here. You have taken a big task by coming here. If this wasn't such an advanced goal and such monumental time, yes, the times would maybe easier. May be easier, but it is not. You have chosen to come here to witness and co-create this beautiful, huge transformation. So be aware that you are so much more than you give yourself credit for. At any given moment, when you feel small, when you feel overwhelmed, we invite you to call on our essence or just connect to the loving mother, loving parent within yourself. And you may see the small you, the one who is struggling, the one that may be overwhelmed by the news or happening around them. This small you can be held in a place of love and compassion by the bigger you. So you can even imagine it happening as your higher self, comes in with your wisdom, with your infinite connection and love, and holds the smaller you in a place of comfort, of love, and assurance that everything will be okay and that you are okay just as you are, even when you're feeling small. Because you feeling small is not you being small, it's just you living that moment with its limitation, with its restriction and with its challenges, but your being is still vast and open and mighty.
I love that. Thank you so very much. I have just one more question, if that's okay.
But of course.
You came in at this time in our transition of the world. Is there something, a reason you came in at this time? Was it because we were ready? Were you ready? Was there something more at play? What is special about this time?
This time has been anticipated as our involvement with humanity and with the earth goes back beyond the awareness of humanity of itself. So it is not new, a new connection. However, you may say that our involvement has come and gone depending on the times and depending on the need. And now it is a time for us to return. And we are both here energetically, but also in the physical, as physical beings on your planet, because it is a time of awakening. And that is usually when our involvement amps up. And it is a time where the awakening is going to merge the energetic with the physical. So some of you talk about it as going to the fifth dimension or fifth density, 5D, fourth density, really. But in essence, what you are going to experience is not going somewhere else. You are not going up to a different dimension. You are raising your frequency, in other words, expanding your awareness that is one of the same. So more and more of what you have called the spiritual world can be integrated and appear in your physical world. A part of it is what some know as open contact or contact with other beings, whether they're extraterrestrials, multidimensionals, elementals, and many other names you can have for them. There are all these other beings, consciousnesses, essences that are becoming more and more physical in your eyes and physical to your senses as our presence increases. So these are very exciting times also for us since we get to integrate with your awareness as humans once again and interact with you in ways that were not possible for a very, very long time in human years.
I love that. A lot of times it feels like connecting with family. Is that how you look at it from your end?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we are so glad that you experience it this way, as many people see us as gods, as was in ancient Egypt. We were considered as gods, and the people are small, weak people. And it is not the case at all. It is a family reunion. It is humanity coming into its own, just like children in the family grow. The children are not less important than the parents or the siblings. It is growing up together into coherence. And it is indeed a family reunion that is currently taking place.
I love that. And I could talk to you all day, but I know we're on a time schedule. I want to thank you so much for coming in. Is there anything you would like to say before we close on your end? And I just want to thank you again for your time.
Is our pleasure. We do not experience time space as you do. And as a result, we are available at any point to anyone at all. Anyone at all that would like to connect to our essence and gain strength and love and guidance from our essence. Truly, all you have to do is center yourself within your heart and then make the call. And we are there. And trust that we are there, whether your current senses can detect it or not. Know it in your heart. if you cannot know it with your body or your mind. But we are there, available, and celebrating with you these exciting times.
Well, thank you so very much. I appreciate you so much. And I encourage others to connect with you as you have done with Yari. And Yafi, I am so excited that Yafi has connected with you to share your messages. So thank you so much. I appreciate you.
We appreciate you as well, and all who are here holding this beautiful space to allow this co-creation to take place.
Thank you. How are you doing, Afi?
Hello, I'm good. I'm back.
Thank you so much for allowing us to experience Hathor
My pleasure.
and the light language and all you have to offer. And I am encouraging others, please reach out, check out your website. It's yafichanneling.com. You're also on YouTube, Spotify. You're on, I think you are on Instagram and Facebook
Yes.
also.
Yes.
And to reach out and check that out because you offer so much and you bring such a beautiful energy to all of this. I've just got to
Thank
say,
you.
your energy, your heart, and you're real. And I've got to say, it's so nice and so refreshing to I feel so lucky to be able to interview people like you who are real, who are using their heart and are reaching out and really putting yourself on the line, because this type of thing that you're doing now would not have been so embraced years ago.
Yes, it is still growing, Still people that channel extraterrestrials, it's more sexy than channeling the divine feminine and talking about all these hard stuff. So ditto and likewise, and I appreciate you. And it's true, this is very important. And hopefully, and no, not hopefully, thankfully, it's becoming more and more accepted and more understood of the importance of these kind of conversations and this kind of interactions.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, and it's sharing that information, and you've taken the time, and it takes a lot of time to put all that
Yes.
down into a book to get it all together. That's a lot of work to do, but I also feel it's so needed for so many people, and for people who are just, a lot of times, like you said, you can't think of all the questions to ask. And it's knowing there's other people that ask questions, because I always say there's never a stupid question because someone is thinking of it. Ask the question.
Yes, and if you have that questions, many, many others do too.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm just so enamored. And I know I just keep hearing my team is just saying it's so helpful with what you're doing and bringing that out there. And then also bringing the extraterrestrial, I call them star nations, because some people get a little freaked out when you say ETs.
That's right.
But to know that is all coming online also. And
Yes.
as you've had, when you've, and you've been interacting with them for a while, I just hear my team, like, you've been interacting with them for a while. But as you started doing this newer, it's been ramping up and doing a different interaction for you. Were you ever scared in any moment? Because I hear that from a lot of people, like, I'm scared. What if I tap into that? What has been your experience with that?
Yeah, so I'm very lucky that I was born with very, very low level of fear.
You're that tough one out there.
If anything, people sometimes scare me more than spirits.
Agree.
So I have never had any fear interacting with them. I've never had a negative experience interacting with them. I will say that from the beginning, when I started channeling, my invocation includes putting myself in that space of love and declaring the intention that that's the only realms I'm interested in at all, and that it's true. I have no curious about the darkness. I have a lot of curious about light. And whether there's the angelics or different teachers, or that's where my heart goes, that's where my interest goes, that's where my mind goes. And I believe that as a result, I have never had a negative or fearful interactions with them. Not to say that I've never had one in my life, but not with them.
I love that. And that's something I so there's fear. My team is just saying fear, fear, fear of so many people. Like, I open myself up to this. What am I going to get into? And I love how you said you would call it the invocation of I'm going to only work with things that are light and curiosity about light. When you're doing that, that's exactly what you're going to experience. And it's
Yes.
knowing you get to choose and you've
So
been
if
choosing.
somebody is experiencing a lot of fear, maybe they should hold off on channeling, and maybe they should do more inner work to clear that fear. And you don't need to be 100% fearless, but if that fear is a tiny voice and your curiosity and openness is this loud voice, you're much more likely to connect to positive light beings. But if you are consumed with fear, if you are all about protection, 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 then you should probably hold off on channeling. It doesn't mean that you cannot connect to your intuition. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't start meditating. It doesn't mean that you're not on a spiritual journey. But if you're thinking about channeling and you experience a lot of fear, I would say there's more clearing that should probably be done before you open yourself up in such ways.
That is awesome advice. I love that. Clear the fear before you move forward. And knowing you can always connect. We can always connect at any time. It's just deciding when it's right for you and knowing when you're not in fear is the best time to do it. And curiosity, I love that. More
Yes,
curiosity.
replace fear with curiosity.
Love that. Love that. It's so important. And I've just got to say, Yari, it has been an amazing time talking with you and sharing who you are. And my team is just like, I just feel all celebration that we got to talk today.
Thank you so much.
So I just want to thank you again so much for all you've done. Is there anything you would like to add to before we close for today?
So people have heard about my books through this conversation. So of course I encourage them to either read them or you can also listen on audiobook. I record the audiobook, so you have my voice. It's the closest you can get to having it channeled.
Love
And
it.
yes, I also do travel and retreats. I invite people. I'm taking a group to Egypt next January, and I do different events and I invite people to look into that and to join me on this magical, wonderful journey.
Awesome. And I've got to encourage everybody, go check her out. Check out Yari because she's,
Yappy.
yeah, or sorry, I keep going here, Yari. I keep, yeah, why
It's
am
a
I?
mixing of my first and my last
The
name. You're
last
not
name,
the
yes.
only one who
They're
does
like
that.
putting it together. It's Yaffe Yar ear. So I'm sorry. I apologize about that. It's like, why am I putting them together? But I just encourage everybody, check you out because there is so much you offer. And you do that once a week on Sundays. And you have an amazing presence. Your presence is just amazing and heartfelt. And
Thank
I
you.
felt so blessed to be in your presence. So
I'm
thank you
so
for
glad to
that.
hear that. And all same to you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. So I am just so excited. And I want to encourage everybody again, go to her website. It is Yaffe Channeling, Yafi Channeling.com. And of course, those links will be down below. Check her out on pretty much all the social media out there. Go to her website, check out all she has to offer because it is so much and so much heartfelt. And I want to thank you for the light channeling also because it is such a resonance. And my team is just saying, even if you don't know the words or the meaning behind it, just realize there is a resonance that comes through to everyone with that light language. So thank you for that. So again, I want to thank everyone. Thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, your heart, and who you are. I encourage everyone again, go to our website, yafichanneling.com. And then I also want to say for all of you, if you've ever missed any episodes, you can go to Edge Talk Radio's YouTube, my YouTube channel. You can go to, it's available on multiple downloadable podcasts. You can check on any of the other episodes if you've missed anything. And I also want to encourage everyone and let everyone know new channels are coming up on the first and third Wednesdays of every month at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. So again, go back and check out all of the other channels. And I want to thank you again, Yafi, for all you offer and all you bring to the world. And I want to thank all of you here for listening, expanding, and amplifying our universe together. I wish you all an absolutely amazing day, and thank you all, and thank you, Yafi. Have an amazing day, everyone.